Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Depression is something a lot of us, whether you're Latino or not, just don't talk about. But some studies suggest that Latinos are one of the highest risk groups for depression. The rate of Latina girls who attempt suicide is higher than other groups. And as we heard earlier in our show, Latinos have significant barriers to treatment. But these facts don't really tell the story of Latinos and depression. For somebody living with this disorder, the pain of getting through any given day isn't quantifiable, which brings us to the story of Dina.
I don't even know where to start because that is such a long story.
Dina is 39 years old. She lives in Texas with her husband, Jay, in a neat suburban subdivision. She has two kids, a 10-year-old boy and a 4-year-old girl. Now, the way we came upon the story of Dina and Jay, not their real names, by the way, is that I met Jay when I was stuck in an airport in Texas about 2 years ago. I struck up a conversation with him because he's a Latino who's in law enforcement. And then, as it can happen sometimes in airports, within a few minutes, we were talking about our families. And Jay revealed that his wife was in the hospital, recuperating from a medical condition called Stevens-Johnson syndrome, which is caused by an extreme reaction to a medication that his wife had been taking. We stayed in touch, and then Jay told me that his wife had actually been battling depression her whole life. But I had never met Dina until just this year.
Mind if I sit down?
Let me give you a hug.
Okay, thank you. Good to see you again. Good to see you again.
Does anybody want water before we continue?
Even though we're indoors, when we meet at their home, Dina wears dark sunglasses during our interview.
I'm still at the stage where I like to keep them covered just because I'm not comfortable with the general appearance of them. And they look scary to me, so.
Dina's eyes were permanently damaged from Stevens-Johnson syndrome. She's now legally blind. She's not allowed to drive. And she can no longer cry. Her tear ducts were destroyed.
They do get watery, but the tears never fall.
The story of how this happened to Dina begins long ago, when she was just a child.
I've always felt a little off. Like, I never really felt really happy or really comfortable in my skin.
Early on, Dina realized she felt different from other children.
I just never felt good enough. Like, I never could find the good in me. I was always picking myself apart.
In high school, Dina had thoughts of suicide, but she never made any serious attempts.
You always learn that that's a sin, and you're going to go to hell if you kill yourself, and like the pain that it would leave behind. It would cure my pain, but it would just leave everybody else.
Dina went through all of this without any kind of help for years. No therapy, no meds, nothing.
My mom always told me that she just wanted to be careful because she didn't want me to have me labeled as emotionally disturbed or mentally ill. We just tried to do like a lot of praying.
Her husband, Jay, agrees. That just wasn't the way people did things in the South Texas Mexican-American communities they both grew up in.
You know, I don't know if it was because there was a stigma to mental illness. You know, I tend to think that that's what it is, that people think, well, you know, why are you being such a weak person?
So Dina gets through high school. She makes it, as she says, suffering from depression, feeling shame, not getting any help. And then she starts college. Around that same time, she meets Jay.
It was in October 1997.
They met online on AOL Instant Messenger and then started dating.
She was fun to talk to, fun to hang out with, and we seemed to have a few things in common. You know, our backgrounds were similar. And she was just generally just a very sweet person, and I really liked that about her.
She is sweet, and she has a real sense of humor that shines through even when she's talking about the most difficult topics. And as for the depressive periods, Jay was no stranger to that.
Well, actually, I had seen similar things at my house. between my mother and my father. I knew it was probably going to be a lifelong thing, from the very beginning.
Jay and Dina got married. Soon after, they had their first kid, and Dina went through really bad postpartum depression. She did some group counseling at the hospital, but didn't stick with it. She had postpartum again after the birth of their second child. Then she miscarried her third child, and soon afterwards, things started to fall apart.
It was definitely not getting any better. It was getting worse, and she would even have times of like paranoia, and she would think people were out to get us, and people were listening in on us, you know, from somewhere.
On top of it, their marriage was beginning to unravel.
You know, something was revealed to me, and it just sent me over the edge where I felt like I was ruining my marriage because of this. Like, it was causing him pain, and that he had to find comfort in other things.
I wasn't always attuned to her needs, you know. I wasn't the perfect husband for her. Probably I was, you know, a large reason why it didn't get better for her. I wasn't the man I should have been for her.
Around this time, Jay convinced Dina to try going on medication for her depression.
I remember the day. It was August 27, 2012. That's when I had my appointment.
Dina had briefly tried a med called Paxil before, but she didn't like the way it made her feel. She asked the psychiatrist for something else.
She's like, okay, well, there's this other drug that could be helpful.
The doctor prescribed her lamotrigine, which is also called Lamictal. It's designed as an epilepsy drug, but it has a secondary use to decrease the length of depressive periods in people with bipolar disorder.
She said, just keep an eye out, you know, if you get any kind of rash or anything.
A week went by. Dina started feeling weak and achy.
I just thought I was getting the flu or something. And the next morning, my eyes were very itchy. I thought I had pink eye.
A few days after that, she started getting a really bad sore throat. It didn't occur to Dina that this could be the rash the doctor had warned about.
Like, when I would swallow, I felt like bumps, like something was in there. And it turns out, like, I was breaking out, but I was breaking out from the inside.
And as the day progressed, it even started affecting her breathing. And then she started to get these red dots on her skin that seemed to multiply. They, like, started out as just a few, and then it just increased and eventually covered all her body.
Dina and Jay started to realize this was really serious, and they went to the emergency room. Hours later, the doctors finally figured out that Dina had developed Stevens-Johnson syndrome. It's a rare, life-threatening condition in which cell death causes the skin to blister, then separate from the body and die. It's like your epidermis just starts to peel off. The doctors called Jay back to the hospital immediately.
To me, it looked like she might be dying. That's what it looked like. I mean, her skin was already discolored. Her lips were gray, and her eyes were really red. And her breathing was rough.
It was really scary. And then I don't remember much after that.
Dina was airlifted by helicopter to a military hospital where they had the technology to treat her. She was in intensive care for over a month, in a medical coma for much of that time, under constant care. Stevens-Johnson continued to rip through her body.
There were patches of her skin that were peeling away as the days went on. So the same thing that was happening to her skin was happening onto the eyes, you know, and even inside her lungs, you know, that this... The upper layer of the body was dying away.
I seen some pictures of myself, and I was literally like one big scab. I mean, I looked probably like I could be on The Walking Dead. I mean, I was, you know, it was like I was burned, like someone lit a match to me.
The doctors wrapped her in medical dressings like you would for a burn victim. To keep her alive, her blood had to be oxygenated outside of her body. And through the process, because her lungs were so scarred, she often had to rely on a ventilator to breathe.
Okay, that's all this.
The top one's broccoli and beef. And the other, you want this one?
Eventually, Dina started to get better.
Chicken, and you can put some sweet and sour sauce on there if you want.
Doctors told her that her recovery was miraculous. She didn't end up needing any skin grafts, even though the disease affected 90% of her body. Her vision was damaged. She's now legally blind. She lost all of her fingernails. Scarring in her throat has affected her voice forever. And there's still some scarring and discoloration on her skin. But she survived.
I do feel lucky to be alive, and I do feel lucky to be walking around and not sitting in a wheelchair or attached to an oxygen machine.
She can't see, but she can more or less live her life as before. Still, she says,
it's hard. Just knowing that I'm different now, like I can never be what I was before. I have to kind of start from scratch.
One thing that's changed for Dina is the way she thinks about medical care.
Because I always viewed doctors as kind of like these superhuman people, like the smartest people. They always know what's good for you. And lately that has really changed.
Stevens-Johnson syndrome can potentially be caused by an allergic reaction to any medication. But studies have especially linked lamotrigine to it. Dina says she wasn't warned about the drug's real dangers. She says she doesn't blame the doctors or anyone else for what happened to her. But Jay does blame himself. He goes back to one moment in the hospital. Dina was unconscious, and Jay had to decide whether or not to put Dina on a ventilator. If he didn't, her brain and organs would almost certainly fail.
And to some people, it would seem completely obvious, oh, we have to put her on this machine. And that's the decision I made, but at one point in our marriage, she told me that if she ever needed some type of machine to keep her alive, to not do it. And that came into my mind, you know? And I also remember hearing that if somebody's mentally ill and they say, I want to die, do they really mean that? There was doubt in my mind whether I was going to make the right decision or not. But, you know, I had to say yes. I had to say yes, let's do what we can to keep her alive, you know?
So Dina sometimes says to you still, you should have just let me die?
Yes, she does.
What is that like for you, Jay?
It's hurtful. All those days I was there, you know, hoping that she was going to make it through and be able to see the kids again. And I know that there's days when she feels like she really means what she says when she tells me, you should have let me die. But I tell myself that that's the mental illness talking. And so when she's having a really severe depression and she's yelling, sometimes I think to myself at that moment, was it the right decision? Is she going to spend the rest of her life suffering and blaming me? Did I make the right decision? You know, it's like, how do you know it was the right decision? You just don't. But on the good days, there's been good days since then, and, you know, there's been bad days since then, too. But on the good days, I reassure myself, it's like, that was the right decision to make.
Do you think that you, Jay, are now battling your own depression after what's happened with Dina?
Yeah, that's true. I do get depressed about it. There's no other word for it. And, you know, I feel guilty because I try to disconnect from it, you know, on a daily basis. I get up and I say, well, I have to go to work. So I try to make a disconnect. Yeah, but it's always there. You know, you never really disconnect completely.
At first, I really wished I was dead, because I saw the struggle that was gonna. I saw what was coming. I'm almost ashamed to say it, but I almost felt gypped, like I wouldn't have to deal with life anymore.
Depression and mental illness for Latinos in particular, I think, is hard. Can you talk a little bit about the shame and the silence and what you think about it now?
I still have shame about it because I don't know why I can't just pull myself together. People make it sound like it's a choice, like you need to decide. Like, it's your choice to be happy. I mean, every day I try hard to think positive, and I still struggle. Like, it's like an angel on your shoulder and a devil on your shoulder. And you just all back and forth all day. It's, like, exhausting. I have to, like, look at my kids and remind myself why I'm here. And, like, I mean, they're the reason I live. I mean, that's what I am. I'm their mother. You know, I have to get better for them. I guess I do feel shame that I can't seem to just turn it around, you know. But I'm trying.
Thanks to Dina and Jay for sharing their story. They did it because they want to help others. But their ending isn't necessarily a good one. Often, as journalists, we try to wrap up our stories neatly, to bring you lessons and give you, our listeners, some kind of resolution. But of course, reality is rarely that simple. In the end, Dina and Jay are just a middle-class Mexican-American family from suburban Texas. They still struggle, like so many others, to raise two kids and handle their own marital and health problems. So when we asked what they've learned from this experience, their answers were practical. Be careful when taking a new medication. Question your doctors. Deal with your problems head on. They still live day by day, some days better than others, and they're still trying to get help. But they're not giving up. And maybe it's that will to keep trying, a will that doesn't always come easily, that sustains them. That and their hope to raise physically and mentally healthy kids. Now, if you're hearing this and you hear yourself reflected and you live in the United States, there is help out there. The National Suicide Prevention Helpline is 1-800-273-8255. We have links to more resources on our website, latinousa.org. Hay ayuda. Búscala si la necesitas. La línea nacional de esperanza es 1-800-SUICIDA.